Could someone just give me scriptures for success from the Bible? Many of you have asked that question. Now, I'm assuming that because you've asked that question, that you are a Christian and you just want to know where to find some certain scriptures in the Bible because it's a big book with little bitty print. I understand that. Or you may just be curious, like you don't know God, but you know that there's something in this book, the Bible, for you to have a successful life. Well, I'm so glad that many of you have asked this question. I'm Kathy Shropshire, and this podcast is brought to you by Dean Shropshire Ministries, and I'm excited to answer your question. Thank you for tuning in. Well, let me tell you about the Bible. Because it's the book for me. And I want to tell you that it is full of promises that God has given His children for when they obey, they will have good success. It is so important that you get in the book and find out what's available to you. Because there's so much in this book for life. But I understand, it's a big book. And, you know, it keeps people from reading it because, like with most books, people start at the beginning. And there's a lot of history in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament. So by the time you get to Numbers, if you start at the beginning of the book, listen, you'll give up. You'll quit reading. I did that for many years. But I'm here to tell you, I'm going to give you some success scriptures from the New Testament or the New Covenant. This is what Jesus gave us as His children. And some of these scriptures, I have a few that are in the Old Covenant. See, what you have to understand is we have two parts of this Bible. The Old Covenant and the New Covenant. Old Testament, New Testament. And what you've got to do is you take the Old Testament scriptures through the cross and see what Jesus said about certain things. And if Jesus addresses certain things, then that's what you go with. You go with what Jesus said. So let's get started. The first scripture, and I think I have 12 scriptures for you. So write these down. I mean, if you sincerely want the answers to the questions, then I would encourage you to get your Bible out because I'm going to be reading from my Bible. And I would encourage you, if you're going to get a Bible, get a red letter edition because a red letter edition has the words of Jesus in red. And we're going to start with really one of my favorite scriptures that most people already know this scripture, and it's found in John 3:16. So get your Bible and turn with me, or just get a piece of paper and write these down or put them on your phone like so many of you do. Put these references on the phone, and when you have time, I would encourage you to go get a paper copy of a Bible because they say, whoever they are, that this is more effective than reading it on your phone. So get your Bible and highlight it or underline it. Yes, you can mark in your Bible. Don't think that I can't mark in my Bible. My Bible is totally marked up with statements, with comments, with all kinds of things to help me understand. And see, I've got my Bible almost trained that if I'm thinking about something, a scripture, I don't know where it is, I know maybe approximately which book it's in, then I go to that book and I look for the highlighting, I look for the underlining, and there it is. So train your Bible in that regard also. So John 3:16, great scripture. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now this is a foundation of what Jesus did. This is a great scripture. And you know, many people know this scripture. I mean, they hold up signs, John 3:16, at football games and baseball games. But do you really understand that this is one of those success scriptures found in the Bible? And let me explain it to you. It says, for God so loved the world. Now, in the Amplified translation, it says, "For God so loved the world and dearly prized the world that he gave Jesus." Now you see, God is a giver. There are a lot of things you can learn from this. So we're to be imitators of God as dear children. So we need to be a giver also. God is a giver. He gave his best. We need to give God our best. And who wouldn't want to give him our best? He created us. He loves us. And he wants the very best life for us. That's why he gave us Jesus. He loved the whole world so much. Now you have to understand this because of what Adam and Eve did in the garden. They messed everything up for everybody. So everyone born after Adam and Eve were born in sin. What that means is we were under the dominion of old Snake Face himself, Satan. And Jesus said it himself. He said this in John 10:10. And he said, "There's a thief. And that thief is old Snake Face, the devil, Satan, who comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have life more abundantly." So God's plan is for you to have an overcoming life, an abundant life. That's why Jesus bled out. We just celebrated Easter. But I want to tell you that he so loved the world. He loved the entire world. God did not want us to remain under the dominion of Snake Face and living in sin with the nature of the enemy on the inside of us. No, so he provided life through Jesus, just like Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly," John 10:10. He provided that life so we could make a choice. Now, unfortunately, some people still choose to live without God. They choose to live without making Jesus the Lord of their life. But our job as believers is to believe the word of God, that God sent Jesus so that we could have that abundant, overcoming life, and to not only go to heaven, but live here in the nasty now victoriously, successfully. So it's our job to tell everybody about this wonderful life. So that's what John 3:16 says. "For God so loved or dearly prized the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So we've got to believe. You've got to believe that God sent Jesus to die for you, and that Jesus was raised from the dead, and he is now seated at the right hand of the Father, and he can be your Lord if you so choose to believe. That's why my next favorite scripture is found in Romans 10, 9 and 10. Why is it my favorite scripture? Well, because without this, without making this profession, then and praying this prayer, we would all go to hell. See, God provided the way through Jesus, and Jesus accepted the assignment to go to the cross, go to hell, and pay the price in hell for your sin and mine. Then he rose up, kicked the devil's butt. Then he took his blood and put it on the mercy seat in heaven. And then he walked on the earth for 40 days in his glorified body. And then he sat down at the right hand of the Father, completing to the last detail what the Father told him to do. So redemption was taken care of for all mankind. But it's a choice. And that's what Romans 10, 9 and 10 says. And this is what we want for everybody. We want everybody to pray this prayer, everybody to believe this. And that's why it's so important for you to mark this in your Bible. Because if you're talking to somebody, or maybe you yourself don't know Jesus as your Lord, you've never said, "Jesus, come into my life. I want this wonderful overcoming life that Pastor Kathy is talking about," then what you need to do is you need to open your Bible to Romans 10, 9 and 10. And this is what it says. "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Then verse 10, "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So here we see, you want to be saved, you want salvation, you want to go to heaven when you pass from this earth, you want to have a victory living in the nasty now. This is what you do, Romans 10, 9 and 10. It's as simple as that. You pray and believe from the heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and you make Jesus your Lord. That means he is your owner, your master, your possessor, and your controller. You choose that. You choose to make that decision. I don't like the life I'm living. I want a better life. The better life is in Jesus. It's the best life. That's why Romans 10, 9 and 10 is on the list of a success scripture for you from the Bible. But then after you get saved, just turn over a couple of pages in Romans to Romans 12, 1 and 2. I'm reading from the New King James Bible, and I would suggest you read it from either the King James or the New King James. Some of these other translations are not sometimes quite accurate, so I always go back to King James or New King James. Romans 12, 1 and 2 is the next step after you're saved. And many believers, they miss this step. And therefore, they come, they from the heart make a decision to make Jesus the Lord of their life. But then, what happens? They don't do what Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, which I'm about to read to you. And so consequently, the world sucks them back in. And they're not living the way they're supposed to according to the word. That's why this is a success scripture. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So basically what this is saying is after you get saved, you have a personal responsibility to do something. You got to grow. You got to grow up. You got to take the word of God and you have to plant it in your heart. That's what it says. You want to be holy. You want to be a living sacrifice. And this is your reasonable service. Like God sent Jesus to die for you. He expects you to live for him. And so this is how you live for him. It says, and be not conformed, verse 2, read it along with me. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can prove what is that good, acceptable and perfect will of God. You got to renew your mind. See, your spirit man is what God saved, got recreated with the life and nature of God when you did what Romans 10, 9 and 10 said. But you still have this nasty flesh to deal with, and you have your mind and your will and emotions, which didn't get saved. So what you have to do is you have to change your way of thinking. You have to get in the Word of God and think like God thinks. You have to transform. In other words, you have to push out the stinking thinking of the world and what you've been thinking, which is contrary to the Word of God, and put the Word of God on the inside. Praise God. Okay, let's move along. Joshua 1:8. Oh gosh, this is key. And I know it's in the Old Testament, but it goes right along with what Jesus would want you to do and God wanted you to do. He told Joshua this in Joshua 1:8 when Joshua was taking over after Moses. And this is what it says. Oh, it's such a good scripture because all the way through here in Joshua, and this is such an encouragement because he says, be strong, be strong, be strong. Because you can imagine however many Jews, 2.5 million or 3 million Jews, now he had to take into the promised land and take over Moses' position. And Moses was a great leader. And so what this says, Joshua 1:8 says this. This book of the law, which means this word of God, shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Here it is, the key to success. Once you're born again, you have to transform your mind with the Word of God, and here it says, Keep it in your thought process day and night. Think about the Word of God. Think about it. Meditate on the Word of God. Meditate so that it becomes real to you. You think about it. See, you have, when you read the Word of God, or you read anything for that matter, but let's talk about reading the Word of God. Okay, this is using your mental capabilities when you read something, when you memorize something. But when you meditate on it, when you think about it over and over and over and over again, it comes down and it gets in your heart where you know in your knower that that's what the Word says. But then it says, and don't just get it in your heart, but you got to do according to what the Scripture says. So you apply action to what the Word says. And when you meditate on it, when you plant it in your head, meditate, meditate, meditate. It goes down into your heart, and then you begin to act on it. You begin to speak it out of your mouth. You begin to do what it says. Then it says, then you will have not just success, but good success. Well, that's what these are. These are good success scriptures. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now turn over to Proverbs. You know, it was written by the wisest man that ever lived, up until Jesus, and I believe Jesus was wiser, but, you know, God asked King Solomon, he said, what do you want? I'll give you anything. And he said, I want wisdom. And God gave him wisdom. Oh my gosh. This Proverbs is so rich and so full. I'm just going to touch on a few things that it says, because it kind of goes along with Joshua 1:8 and some of these other things we've talked about. So we're in Proverbs 4, and in the King James, in the New King James rather, and it says, hear the instructions of the Father. In other words, pay attention to this book. You know, it's a good idea to read this book every month. You can read one chapter a day for 31 days and then go back and start over. It is so rich and so full. And then, you know, mine's totally marked up because there's so much rich information, so much wisdom. So it says, give attention to no understanding. That's verse 1. Like, that goes along with Joshua 1:8. Which says, you want to be a success, you got to know this book. You got to understand it. You got to be able to apply it to your heart. Apply it to your life, rather. It says, let your heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. And then it goes on in verse 5, and it says, get wisdom. Get understanding. This is a book of wisdom, Proverbs is. And he's saying, go ahead. Read it, study it, get this wisdom, but not just get it to memorize scriptures, but understand it. Why do we understand it? So you can apply it to your life. And then it goes on to say in verse 10 that when you receive these sayings, when you actually apply these sayings to your life, guess what's going to happen? The years of your life will be many. We're promised 120 years. I think that's good success. And then let's go on. It says in verse 20, again, give attention. That means pay attention to the Word. I mean, give your attention. Look in the Word. Find out what the Word of God says. See, the Word is God speaking to you, and He wants to tell you how to live. He's provided everything you need, but we need knowledge how to implement this in our life. And he says, my son, give attention to my words. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. This is what you're supposed to do. Keep the Word as frontlets before your eyes. What that means, the Jews would put the scripture and they would put it on a pieces of paper and put it in a phylactery, and they would wear it on their head. Well, we don't do that, but we are aware of what the Word of God says, and we constantly keep our eyes on it, keep remembering what it says, because when we're thinking about it, when we've meditated on it, and it becomes part of our life, and we're acting on it, and we're speaking on it, then we're going to have good success. Let's go over to Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3, this is such a very good scripture also. But let's begin in verse 5. And what does it say? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. See, we are so programmed, especially if you're a thinker like I am, to lean to my own understanding and my own logic. But that's gotten me in trouble more times than not, because it says, in all your ways, acknowledge him, acknowledge the word, and he will direct your paths. See, don't make your own plans. Have God tell you his plans, and then you will have a good life. Then it says in verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil, for it will be health to your flesh. What will be health to your flesh? The Amplified says it will be medicine to your flesh. What will be medicine? The word. The word is medicine. So you take your medicine. So many people are hooked on so many drugs and they take so many pills every day. Take the gospels. Take the good news of the gospel every day. And then, just like it says, it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Glory to God. This is a great, great set of scriptures. Let's see. I can go on, but you can read them. You can read them. The next verses talk about honoring the Lord with your possessions. That means giving your tithes and your offerings, the first fruits of everything you have. And then it says, then your barns will be filled. Your checking account will be full. Oh gosh, there's so much with respect to success scriptures in the Word of God. Now let's go back to another group of scriptures found in Deuteronomy, the fifth book of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy 28. Now, you might have to do some additional studying for all these scriptures to really come into the context that they are. But God cut a covenant with Abraham, Father Abraham, our father in the faith. And what he told him in cutting a covenant, what that means is everything you have belongs to God and everything God has belongs to you. It's not like a contract that we have nowadays. The American people don't understand covenant because they break contracts. They say, come and get the car, come and get the house, repo the house, that kind of thing. But a covenant is an unbreakable bond. And when you make Jesus the Lord of your life, you enter into that covenant. And God has promises for you. He has blessings for you as his child, as a participator in the covenant with him. And Deuteronomy 28:1 all the way through 18 talks about the blessings. Talk about success scriptures. I'm not going to read all of these. You can read them yourself. But I just want to point you in the right direction, because what was your question? Where are the success scriptures in the Bible? This is major. Now, after verse 18, it goes into the curses. But see, we're redeemed from the curse of the law because we are in covenant with Jesus because of Jesus. And so consequently, these curses don't apply to us, but we can read them like, thank you, Father, that I'm redeemed from the curse of the botch. I'm redeemed from the curse of skin problems, da 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 da, and so forth. It goes way to the end of the chapter listing the curses, and that's all the way through verse 68. Again, a great, great set of scriptures talking about the blessings of obedience, really. Now then, oh my gosh, we talked about first fruits, giving your first fruits, and the Bible talks about this. Remember, we take everything from the old into the new. We take it through the cross. Now, go to Malachi 3:10, and this is, a lot of people don't want to give. Well, you know, like Brother Hagin says, if you want to be blessed, give. If you don't, don't. So I think everybody wants to be blessed. In fact, you asked the question, like, what are the success scriptures in the Bible? Well, these are part of my favorite. I have a lot of favorite scriptures, but Malachi 3:10 clearly says what to do with our finances. See, you want to be blessed, you want to be prosperous, then you need to operate in God's financial system. He sets it up so you can be blessed. And this is what he says in Malachi 3:10. He says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Who has to do that? You do. You bring 10%, 10% of your gross, 10% of all your increase, 10% of your first fruits, just like I previously read, so that there will be food in the house. What house? The house where you're fed, the church where you're fed. You are told by God in this scripture to bring 10% to the storehouse, where you're fed not natural food, where you're fed the word of God. And then it says, so that there'll be food in my house. And try me now, or prove me, the King James says, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings that there is not room enough to contain. And then it goes on to say, and I will rebuke the devourer, this is verse 11, for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. Basically, what he's saying in this is you have tithers' rights. When you're a tither, you have tithers' rights. God will rebuke the devourer, but it's your responsibility to act on what it says. Because right before that, and let me go back to that, because I don't want you to think that the tithe is the only thing you give to God. Because in verse 8, it says, will a man rob God? Yet have you robbed me? God is saying, yes, you've robbed me. You've robbed me of your blessing. See, God's financial plan is for you to be successful, to be rich, to be successful financially. And he's saying here, you've robbed me in tithes and offerings. So what he's saying here is you give your tithe to the storehouse and you pray about the offerings, but you're required to give tithes and offerings. Otherwise, you're robbing God. So you give both. You give your tithe, which is 10%, and you should want to. Because I'm telling you, I want the devil rebuked on my behalf, don't you? And then it goes on to say in verse 12, then all the nations will call you blessed. Well, I am blessed. I can guarantee you. Malachi 3:10 has worked in my life, and it will work for you. Okay, let's move on to another psalm that is one of my favorites. And really, with things going on in the world today, turn over with me to Psalm 91. I want you to read this probably often. And if things are bugging you, read Psalm 91. And I'm not going to read the whole psalm to you because it is long, it's 16 verses, but I want you to know that this will give you peace, it guarantees your protection, and it opens your eyes to the fact that, hey, you've got angels that are encamped round about you, and they're protecting you from all harm. So when you read this, you have to appropriate what it says. You have to believe that, hey, I've got angels encamped around me and I am protected. God is protecting me. 1,000, it says, can fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it will not come nigh me. And in these days where there is a lot of uncertainty and a lot of people have a propensity for fear, you read this and it dispels all fear. It dispels fear from your heart. So read this every night before you go to bed. You'll have sweet, peaceful sleep, or as many times as you need to during the day. Now let's go to Psalm 37. This is another scripture that will help you to not fret or not have frustration. I was going through a period in my life where I was bombarded with some stuff that happened to me on a daily basis, multiple times during the day. And it was jarring my faith. It was causing me to, or attempting to cause me to give up, to get angry, to get in the flesh. And so I read Psalm 37. So I want you to read this and see how it applies to you. But so many times in Psalm 37, it says, fret not, fret not, fret not. Fret is frustration, anxiety. So many people have anxiety attacks. They're fretful, they're worried. This tells you, in order to get rid of fret, in order to get rid of frustration and anxiety, you need to trust in the Lord. And this chapter will just encourage you to do so. Trust in the Lord. Verse 3 says, number 4, delight in the Lord. Number 5, commit your ways to the Lord. Trust Him. See, you have to do this if you want to get rid of fret and frustration and anxiety. Okay, let me give you one more. Proverbs 6. Oh my gosh. These are such good verses. But I think you need to know this. A lot of people think God is love, which God is love. He is love. But in Proverbs 6, verse 16, it tells us 7 things that God hates. Does God hate? Yes. This is what the Bible says. This is what He disapproves of. He doesn't like behavior like this in your life. And this is what it says. A proud look. God hates pride. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that are swift in running to evil. A false witness who speaks lies, and anyone who sows discord among the brethren. Think about that. Let's not be caught doing any of these 7 things that God hates. I know one more. I could just go on and on, but this is going to be the last one. Mark 11. Second book of the New Testament, verse 22. Oh, so good. Mark 11, 22. Jesus is talking, so this is in red, and this is what it says. Have faith in God. That means you have trust. That's why you believe in God. You believe what He says is true. God is not a liar. Then it goes on to say, for assuredly, that means for a fact. Jesus is saying, for a fact, I say to you, whosoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when ye pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. Verse 25, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Powerful, powerful verses. Initially, he's saying you got to have faith in God. Watch what you say. You can have what you say. Don't say dumb stuff. Proverbs 18:21 says death and life is in the power of the tongue. So you want to speak life to your life because he says you're going to have what you say. And then here it says you got to have forgiveness in your heart. You can't hold unforgiveness toward anybody. Every day, you know, as you go through the day, you got to have your heart clean. You got to take the vacuum and clean that out. When it says, when you stand praying, forgive. If you have unforgiveness in your heart, then guess what? You're not going to get your prayers answered. I don't want to end on a downer, but I'm telling you, we want to do these things. We want to do these 12 verses. We want to study them out. We want to meditate on them. You ask the question, what are some success scriptures that will help me in my walk with God? Here they are. I've given you 12. I was going to give you 10. I gave you 12. These are great verses that will help you in your life be the success that God has called you and destined you and planned for you to be. Will you receive it? Will you appropriate these promises? Will you stand on the promises and do what it says? Then you will have success, not just good success, not just success rather, but good success. I love you. See you later.